Sometimes I think we have to be aware of the changes of language. When I say the word conversation, how do you understand that word? It's talking, right? We have a conversation. When you read the original King James, the word conversation there is the word manner of life. That was the meaning when it was first written. And so the word conversation has changed over the 400 years. Notice the word regeneration there. For those of you that are theologically astute, your hair probably went up on the back of your neck. What are you saying? Are we saying that we believe in baptismal regeneration like the Roman Catholics do? And the answer is, the word has a broad understanding and a narrow. Remember that Calvin influenced this document, and Calvin said, I interpret repentance as regeneration. So the point is, if you notice what it says there, it says, regenerate us from children of wrath to children of God. In the scriptures, what does it say? He translates us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. So you could almost say that when he uses the word regeneration there, you could probably use the word transfer or the word translate. So the point is, regeneration has been defined nowadays to a particular element, but back in the time of Calvin and this, it had a broader sense. Just like the word salvation. Salvation has a broader sense and a narrow sense. Paul says at one point in time, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is he talking about being saved from the wrath of God? That means that we are saved by our works? Is that what Paul is saying? The answer is no. He says, work out your own sanctification is what he's saying. Sanctification is a part of salvation. And so, same thing here. Notice the primary focus of this is believers. It's not focusing primarily on children of believers. That'll be later on in the chapter. But this is talking normatively about someone who comes to faith in Christ, a pagan, someone outside the church, someone who's not been part of the church, and what happens when someone believes in Jesus, what do? We baptize them. If someone makes a profession of faith, then we baptize them. So this is the primary focus here. It will, again, later on we'll talk about, well, what about your children? What about the rest of the household? And notice that the focus is not on water. What is the focus on? What does the water point to? Christ, the blood of Christ. It's a sign and a seal. A sign points to something else. We don't focus on the water, we focus on Jesus. It was the cross, it was the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. The water is just a signpost, a pointing to. But it also has a sealing element to it. We talked about sacraments. It's something that God does. There's something special about it. It's not just something we do because Jesus said do it and there's no real meaning to it, there's no power to it. No, there is. God is doing something. Like I said last week, God is signing the adoption papers. We're now His, formally declaring us to be His. So we should, as the Puritan said, we need to improve our baptism. You ever heard that phrase before? Improve our baptism. What does that mean? Go back and look at what Jesus has done. Embrace it and walk in a way that is pleasing to Him because you belong to Him. You're a saint. You're set apart. You belong to Jesus. Formally, He declared that. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, and it's been signified. So now, live for Jesus.